Before there was Ram Dass, there was an amazing spiritual teacher who was given an identity that we came to know as Uncle Remus. Now, Uncle Remus had this way of describing the experiences of our hearts. And he called that way Br'er Rabbit. So I thought if we were going to look at being here now, we might check out this amazing teacher and learn a little from Br'er Rabbit. You see, there was one night when Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Terrapin was sitting off in the woods talking about old times. The woods, they was cold, but they had a big warm fire. The woods, they was dark, but up in the sky was a big shining moon. Now, as they were there, Br'er Rabbit was hearing some noises in the bushes. "Shh, it's Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear." Now, Br'er Rabbit, he sniffed trouble. "Sure as you live, they're planning to nab us and roast us for their dinner right here on this fire." So Br'er Rabbit, he go and he stir up that fire. And he and Br'er Terrapin, they begin talking about a big dinner. When they did that, bless my soul, out stepped Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear. Now Br'er Rabbit, he say, "Bless my soul, if it ain't Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear." Prancing up, and he goes and shaking their hands. "Come over here to the fire and warm yourselves. We're surely glad to see you. Why, just this very minute, Br'er Terrapin and I was wondering what we was going to do to eat such a smashing big dinner all alone." Well, Br'er Bear and Br'er Fox, they look around. They don't see no dinner. Br'er Rabbit goes, "Shh." He roll his eyes around toward the bushes like he's afraid someone's going to hear. It's waiting there. This very minute, the finest mess of fishes in all the world. "What kind of fishes?" say Br'er Bear, sidling up closer and closer to Br'er Terrapin, like he got a better idea than fishes. "The fattest, juiciest, most delicious fishes you ever laid eyes on." Say Br'er Rabbit, licking his chops. Snort Br'er Fox, "How are we going to catch them?" "Oh, why, catching them's easy. Shh." Now I whisper like he don't want even the gnats and the beetles to hear the secret. "These fishes, they ain't no ordinary sort of fishes. On a night like this, when that moon's up there in the sky, these fishes come right out to the top of the water and they dance hippity-flippity. All you have to do is reach down with your paw and scoop them up. Come on, everybody, it's getting late and I'm getting hungry." Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear, they wink at each other because they think, "Well, we might as well get our share of these delicious fishes. Then we can roast a Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Terrapin for dessert." Now, of course, being the fastest, Br'er Rabbit, he gets down to the pond first. And when he looks down into the water, what's he see but the moon? There it was, shining down from the sky, but looking like it was lying right there on the bottom of the pond. Br'er Rabbit chuckled to himself, because now he knows what he's going to do. This delightful heart symbol, Br'er Rabbit, this that delightful feeling that comes every time we start to think of this character. Just that warm heart, that connection, that love of life that's a part of our heart connection with life itself. And that wonderful wisdom that comes. But if you notice what happens, it comes in a moment. It comes because through that beautiful connection, Br'er Rabbit is open. Now, what Br'er Rabbit knows is that this really is an experience of goodness. So that wisdom's always got to be there when we make that connection. When we have the Brer Rabbits and Brer Bears show up in our life. Actually, we call it stuff. Okay, anybody got some stuff going on in your life? Okay, well, stuff shows up. Kind of Brer Rabbit or Brer Fox and Brer Bear like. And so we get caught into that experience of trying to deal with that. But right there in the heart, right now, in this moment, that guidance, that wisdom, that goodness is right here. And what a beautiful reminder to connect with it. He goes on and shows us another picture. Brer Rabbit and there as Brer Bear and Brer Fox and Brer Terrapin show up at the fawn. Brer Rabbit sigh, "Oh, bad, mighty bad. But accidents got to happen sometimes, and this is just one of those accidents. The moon done dropped down into the pond and scared all the dancing fishes away. Look, way down there, you'll see it there for yourselves." They look, and sure enough, there lay the moon a-swinging and a-swaying at the very bottom of the pond. Brer Fox grumble, and Brer Bear growl. "Gentlemen," say Brer Rabbit, "you can grumble and growl as much as you please, but unless we get that moon out of that pond, we ain't going to get no fish dinner tonight." So with that, Brer Rabbit, he run off to Brer Mud Turtle to get his fishing net. And while he's gone, now Brer Terrapin, well, he's powerful scared, but his mind was a working powerful fast. He stick his head out of his shell, and he whisper, "Psst, psst," like he has a secret. He wants to tell while Brer Rabbit was running off to get the net. Brer Fox and Brer Bear, they come up close. Brer Terrapin whispers some more. "More strange things does going on here at the milk pond than most folks know. But I know, and the lizards know, and the bullfrogs know. We know about that pot of gold." "What pot of gold?" say Brer Fox and Brer Bear both together. "That pot of gold down at the bottom of the pond, right where the moon is." "Shh, here come Brer Rabbit. Don't say a word." Up pranced Brer Rabbit, lippity-clippity, dragging that big net behind him. He winked at Brer Terrapin, because he understand what he was whispering like that. "Now, for that moon," sing out Brer Rabbit. He fling off his coat, he start to rip off his pants, but he can't get into the pond fast enough, because splish splash, Brer Fox and Brer Bear, they jump right down from that bank into the low water. They wade out. And they spread out that big net. They drag it back and forth through the water, but they don't haul in the moon. And they don't haul in the gold. Brer Rabbit, Brer Terrapin, they watch from the bank and they just grin. "Oh, gold's out still further," they holler. "You ain't gone far enough." Well, sir, they go still further. Till all to once, kerplunk, down they step into the great hole in the pond, and they fall in. "Help, help," they yelp again, gulping in big mouthfuls of that muddy pond water. They howl, they yowl, they kick and thrash, and they get all tangled up in that fish net. And the more they kick and thrash, the more tangleder up they get. Now back on dry land, Brer Rabbit and Brer Terrapin, they don't wait to help them untangle their entanglement. Sometimes we get looking down in that pond and we think we're working with the moon. We're in that lower reality, but there's a higher reality. And when we know about that, then we're open to that beautiful flow of wisdom and guidance that lets us move out and beyond our Brer Fox and Brer Bear situations in life. that lets us look at our stuff and understand it's just stuff. Now there's, even before Uncle Remus began telling us about this now moment and this entry through the heart, there's another teacher, and this occurs in the Gospel of John, a story about Jesus, but it happens very early, before he really entered into that experience of sharing his wisdom. So he went to a place called Samaria. Samaria was a place where the Samaritans were mixed race. They had some Jewish blood, they had others, but they were very much looked down upon by the Jewish people. And he began to talk with a woman there at the well. And as he explained some things to her, she began to realize that this was a different kind of consciousness. She says to him, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped at this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." Okay, now let me touch on something here. First of all, look at the duality. Okay, the duality is when we haven't experienced that oneness, that higher consciousness. Okay, and the duality is there's the Jews and there's the Samaritans. There's this theology and that theology. Is there the right way and the wrong way? And we get a look at where that consciousness is. A time is coming. So we're in that past-future thing, aren't we? We look back and we take our past and we project it into the future. We take the thoughts and experience we have from back there and we figure what it's going to mean for the future. A time is coming. And that's part of that consciousness that keeps us in duality. But there's a change that happens. Jesus says, "Yet a time is coming," and then he switches. "And has now come." He moves from that past future place into the now moment. In this moment, his perception changes. "Has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Very different perception, isn't it? "For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." Gone from that being out there someplace in the temple or on the mountain to the spiritual presence, the spiritual reality that we touch through our own spiritual nature in spirit and in truth. The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Now this is the first time that he acknowledges this oneness he experiences with the divine. And what we understand in symbology is that the woman is a picture of the feeling nature. So it's to that feeling, to those openness of feelings, that we're able in this now moment then to connect with that higher awareness, with that greater guidance that takes us through life. I had an experience a little while ago. I was going down a beach, and it was one of those beautiful days when the people were, you know, the kids were playing, beach was filled with people, it was sunny, it was just delightful. And I went along, and there was a dad holding his little baby right down at the edge of the waves. And the waves were coming in, and they would rolled up and would touch that little baby's feet. And he would just squeal with delight, just trying to jump up and down and jump up and down and jump up and down and just laugh and giggle and squeal as those waves came up and touched his feet. And everybody around there had to turn and watch this little baby having this experience. And that pure love of life, that pure delight in the moment. And everybody around there was deep in their hearts. There wasn't anybody trying to figure out what they were going to cook for dinner that night. You know, and even if the check wasn't going to clear, they weren't thinking about it. They were in that moment because of the pure power of the love within the hearts awakened by this little being. In that moment, it was a beautiful gift of love to this universe. Just from those beautiful hearts that opened and shared that moment. Shared heart awakening happens because of the love that flows through us. And where do we touch it most powerfully? When we're willing to be right here, in this moment where that divine love is present. We can do that. And we can touch it and experience it and know that God's goodness fills this moment. Now, that goodness comes in many different forms, doesn't it? Okay, God's goodness fills this moment. It comes for Br'er Rabbit. It came in that form of here's what you do. It was that wisdom, that guidance that let him move through his stuff and come out laughing. Sometimes that goodness is peace. When we're caught in things that seem so powerful and important, and we get into those places of worry. We move into the heart, and there's that goodness. Just peace. It's a gorgeous, a beautiful thing. God's goodness fills this moment. Join me.
God's goodness fills this moment.
Again.
God's goodness fills this moment.
What a beautiful thing to experience, a beautiful place to be, beautiful awareness to hold. This week, as we go on, what may happen is a little Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear may show up in your world. Sometimes they're well disguised, but we know what that is. Okay? And in it's a good time just to take a hold of old Br'er Rabbit. Just jump right in that heart. And know that goodness, whatever form we need it in, is there. God's goodness fills this moment. Join me.
God's goodness fills this moment.
Again.
God's goodness fills this moment.
Now right in this moment, that goodness is absolutely amazing. It shows up as all these wonderful beings. These souls who have journeyed and experienced so much and learned and brought their wisdom and seek that attunement, that beautiful connection that's dear to your heart. And as they hold it, it's easier for each of us to hold it, isn't it? Easier for us to touch in this moment, that goodness. Again.
God's goodness fills this moment.
And sometimes that goodness kind of shows up looking a little bit like this. Back on the dry land, Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Terrapin, they skip off through the woods laughing and laughing till it hurt to laugh. And then they're afraid that their sides was going to crack open. Then they just laugh once more for good measure.